Welcome to Generation Ministries. We are here to serve the Lord. When I was out there, the Lord wanted me to share this word. Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? I feel like that was for tonight. The Lord was showing me that it's easy to judge somebody who's speaking. It's easy to judge the speaker and how they bring a word or how they don't bring a word or the way you think it should be or the way you think it shouldn't be or the way you assume it should be or the way you think it should be. So we tend to judge instead of simply opening our hearts and listening to the word. And so what we do is we try and pull out of a log or try and pull out this huge thing out of somebody else We try and pull the speck out of somebody. We look for the little things and, oh, I can't believe you said that and why did you say this? Which will not be, you're not going to see any of that tonight. Reed is a clean cut. He's a man of God. He's one of my mentors. He's discipled me for the past 3 years, and he is awesome. But I want to encourage you, not just tonight, but for every night in the future at Generation Ministries, and anywhere you go, when you receive a word, don't try and look at the speck in your brother's eye, but receive the word with an open heart, and take the log out of your own eye. Can we do that as a ministry? Can we do that as a body of Christ? Too many times a message will get over and people will say, how was that message? And they go on and on about the way they presented it. Well, let's just receive the word. Okay? Bible says that we need to have a heart of flesh to receive. So let's receive Pastor Reed Moore as he preaches tonight.
Nice.
It's going to be good.
Awesome. I'm wired, baby. Man, it's hard to follow Gabe. So I'll talk about God's greater and this and that and the other thing. So, seriously, where does he get that stuff? All right. So I have a few notes tonight, but mostly I'm just going to let her fly. It excites me. You young preachers, you can't do that yet. Well, and I'm probably sure that I shouldn't do it either, but that's okay. You know, sometimes we come into the house of God here, and it feels like God's just grinding on us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many of you guys know we got stuff? I mean, all of us got some stuff. You guys, anybody with stuff? You know what I'm talking about? If you come in here and you're just like, God's just like, wah! You're just grinding off the hard edges. And sometimes the Christian life feels a little bit like a constant grind of the hard edges. You guys get a witness right here?
Yeah.
But you know, it's not supposed to just be a fix-it project. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my life and your life is not supposed to be just this one big project of God trying to make you something that you're never going to be, and you die and you never actually enjoy living this Christian life. That's not what it's supposed to be, amen? I mean, we're supposed to have relationship, and we're supposed to have joy and peace, and we're supposed to accomplish something in this body for the Lord that brings joy to us and to His kingdom and His people, right? And so tonight, you know, the Lord might heal you or something. He might do something that, you know, is just wild and stuff. But mostly tonight, I want to encourage you. Can I do that? I just want to build you up. I want to strengthen your faith. I want to equip you just to be a blessing this week. Is that all right? Can we do that? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word does what it chooses, God. God, I thank you that we don't manipulate your word and your word doesn't do whatever we want it to do. God, but your word goes to the heart. Father, and your word accomplishes the purpose that you choose for it. And tonight, God, I'm asking that your word would do that. God, I'm praying that you would anoint my words. You would anoint our ears, Father God. You would speak life in this house in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I'm excited. If you got a Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. Little Gabe Webb there. Feels good. That's how you do it. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah to bring up the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart. Pastor Josh, they set it on a new cart. Put it up in a Mercedes. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, who was on a hill. The brother lived up on a hill. Somebody say he lived on a hill. All right. And they drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. I missed something. Uzzah and Ahio, they were the sons of the guy who lived on the hill with the Mercedes. All right, we got that. Okay. Verse 5. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord and all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments and on tambourines, on sistrums and on cymbals. I don't know what a sistrum is. It's all right. And when it came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand on the ark. Brother touched the ark. It was bad juju. He touched the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him for his error. This word means that God breached him. This is kind of nasty, but the King James says that God rent him in two. So basically, God just kind of split him down the middle. It's a bad day for Uzzah. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because the Lord outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. Now it was told to King David that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. There's a lot going on in the scripture. And there's a lot of big players. You know, I mean, the backdrop of this scripture is that under King Saul, Israel had not been doing good things. And so they were fighting against the Philistines. And instead of asking the Lord, should we fight and will we win, they decide, yeah, we're just going to take the Ark of God and we'll just put it out in front and then we'll just win. And so they put the Ark out in front and the Philistines take the Ark. That's kind of what happened. All right, and so they go back, and the Ark was like a big deal, right? Because today when we live, we walk around and we live with the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of God here amongst us when we're gathered. We go home, we go to bed, we got the presence of God. But back in the day, the presence of God was more or less confined to this box. This box, this gold-covered box. It was the presence of God. The Bible says that God's very presence abode. It lived right on the top of this box between these two angels. And so they're doing just some stupid stuff. So the Ark of God goes to the Philistines and screws up two big cities. You know, they're getting rats and boils and all kinds of stuff. And they're just like, dude, this is not okay. And so they send the Ark away. And it goes to this guy's name, guy Abinadab, who lives on a hill. And some scholars think he was a man of, you know, renown. He was a pretty important guy. And so you got lots going on in this story. You got the whole nation of Israel bringing the Ark back to the city. You got the king, King David. You got Abinadab. You got his kids. You got the rolls, you know, all this stuff. But there's something that just fascinates me in this story. Have you ever just been reading scripture and something really insignificant just pops out to you? You know what I'm talking about? And there's this man. There's this guy. Now, the word Abinadab means father of generosity. That's a pretty Bible name, right? David, he's the man after God's own heart. All right. That's good. We like that. And then there's this guy. And his name's Obed-Edom. It means servant of Edom. Edom was the tribe from Esau. And if you remember Jacob and Esau, God said, "Jacob I have chosen, Esau I have hated." You guys remember that whole thing? So his name means servant of the one God hates. I mean, this guy's blessed from the beginning. Not only that, is Obed-Edom is a Gittite. A Gittite means he was from Gath. You guys remember Goliath of Gath? The big guy? It was one of 5 or 6 major Philistine cities. So you know, you look at the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's talking about all of his lineage and how great he used to be, you know, according to the Jewish tradition. This guy is none of that. He's a servant of the brother who ran Jacob off. by name. He's from the wrong place. He lives in the wrong house. Everything's just wrong. He's just normal. There's just nothing special about this guy, Obed-Edom. But somehow he gets himself in this story. So they're bringing the ark on by, and God finally is like, listen, there's just enough. You're not going to treat my presence this way. He splits the guy in two, and David's like, okay, I think I need to do a little growing up before I bring this thing into the city. So David goes back to the city, and he leaves the ark in this house of this guy named Obed-Edom. And, you know, if you just give me a little bit of liberty to tell this story here, I have a little bit of an imagination. And so, you know, Obed-Edom, he's living out in the country. He's probably a farmer, something like that. They're by Nacon's threshing floor, so wheat, barley, something like that probably. And, you know, I can just see him. He comes up to the door, and David's like, hey, this box just split that guy in two. You mind if we store it in your house for a while? And so Obed-Edom, you know, he grew up as a Jewish boy, and he was of the Levitical lineage. And he wasn't a priest, it doesn't look like, but he was a Levite. And so he says, yeah, okay, and he brings it in. And the record in this book is that the Ark of God came to the house of this normal, ordinary guy. And after 3 months, all of the nation knew about the great blessing of this guy's life. What about Abinadab? The ark had been in his house maybe for years. The very presence of God for the entire nation was in this guy's house. And in that whole time, he didn't learn anything about the presence of God. He has his kids put this thing up on a new cart when it's supposed to be carried by Levites and supposed to be carried on poles and it's supposed to be very ceremonial. He didn't learn anything. It came to him from the Philistines on a cart. And he sends it out of his house on a cart, just like that. So I can just see Obed-Edom sitting in his house and probably a simple guy, just lives out in the country, you know, cutting his grain. And somehow he learns how to minister to the Lord. Simple guy. He's not a pastor. He's not a worship leader. He's just a guy that lives by the side of the road. Name means nothing special. He's really nothing special. But yet the whole nation hears about this guy. Obed-Edom. It just fascinates me. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, something about this story just grabs me. This guy is mentioned 20 times in the Bible. In 6 different chapters and 3 different books, his name's recorded. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, starting in verse 18, I think that's all there is. And with them, the brothers of the second rank, Zechariah, Ben, Jezreel, Shemarath, Jethil, Uni, Eliab, Benai, Massa, Matthiah, Eliphia, Micaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jezreel, the gatekeepers. So it gives this whole list, and then it lists Obed-Edom and Jezreel as the gatekeepers. What happened was, this guy somehow learned about the presence of the Lord and how to live with the presence of the Lord and be blessed by the presence of the Lord and be a blessing by the presence of the Lord. And what happened is when David took the ark into the city, he took Obed-Edom with him. And he said, hey, will you be a gatekeeper right here for the ark? Will you watch over the presence of God for our city? It's just amazing. And it goes on in chapter 26. It says that Obed-Edom's kids were given a gatehouse. Now, that doesn't really mean much to us today, but back in ancient times, a city gate was more than just a gate. We think of like this medieval idea of a gate. You go in the gate, you go into the city. Well, in this time, the city gate was actually like its own little miniature city. It was an area. It was like the courthouse. Everything of important business happened in the city gate. And so if you worked in the city gate or you lived in the city gate, that means you're somebody who controls what goes on in that city. You control who comes in and out of that city. You're one of the people who does business right there for the city. An incredible favor was given this man's kids. It's just, I love it. And then later it says, when Israel attacks Judah, that all of the wealth of the temple of God was hidden in Obed-Edom's house. Interesting. All of the wealth of the nations, all the nations' religious wealth was in this man's house to be hidden. Why? He was a nobody. He was just some guy in some story who just happened to be the right place at the right time, maybe. I want to cast some vision for your life tonight. When we go to camp, we have an altar call for whoever wants to be in full-time ministry. Who's called to ministry? And everybody goes forward because you're like, I just want to be prayed for. I just want to be blessed, right? And if we're real with ourselves, we look around this room and we think, what? Maybe a handful of us are called into full-time ministry, right? Not many of us. Well, what about the rest of us? What about Obed-Edom? He wasn't the man who lived on the hill. And he wasn't the king of the nation. He was just this guy who lived by the side of the road. What about the person who's not the pastor? Or what about the person who's not the worship leader? What about Obed-Edom? What about him? What about you? This presence that we talk about, the presence of the Lord, it's not just for the preaching of His Word. It's not just for musical worship. This anointing, this presence of God is for life. And it's for living. It's not for the thing that's going to happen in your life 20 years from now. It's for tomorrow. And it's for today. I mean, what if we were like Obed-Edom? We were sitting in class in a few weeks when school starts or we're in university and we're taking a test full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Oh my gosh! What if we're at our job and we're hitting nails and we're next to that young person who is totally jacked up and we're hitting this nail and we're full of the Spirit of God and wisdom? What if we're Obed-Edom? What if we're just a simple guy, a simple gal, who knows how to inhabit the praises of God, who knows how to harness this presence and that's been given to each and every one of us? What if we get that? You guys getting this? What if we're found faithful with that presence in our jobs? And what if we're found faithful with that presence in our schools? What if? You know, the people that are called to full-time ministry do very little work of the ministry. That's the way it's supposed to be. Ephesians says that the people who are called into the church to do ministry are to equip the body for the works of the ministry. If Pastor Josh is called to be here and build you, how is he going to be in the world building them? It's not his job. It's your job to be an Obed-Edom and to lay aside the preaching of the Word. There's some brothers up in here that can't preach. You know what I'm saying? There's some sisters up here that can't sing. That's just the way we're built. You know what I'm talking about? That's just the way it is. There's some people in here that can be doctors. And there's some people in here that can be plumbers. And that can be carpenters. And can be all kinds of different things. For the glory of God. Obed-Edom was a simple guy standing by the side of the road. And his life did not change except for the presence of God. The presence of God came to him. He continued to sow his wheat. He continued to reap his harvest. And this simple farmer, his name went through the whole nation. That astounds me. That astounds me. In the New Testament, there's two words for the word life. And some of you guys know this. There's one word, it's the word bios. From the Greek word bios, we get the word biology. I show you any word. I tell you how it's from the Greek. Yeah. Let's spray some Windex on it. Amen. The word bios means life, and it means like the substance of life. Like, if you got one of those, you have bios. You have life. But when Scripture is referring to this Christian life, it uses the word Zoe. It's the name of my dog, actually. And she's this pit bull, and she's full of it. She's just like bouncing all over the place, and she's amazing, and it's lots of fun. But, you know, there's life, and then there's life. You guys know what I'm saying? It's the same word. Like, if you talk to Kristen Kellen about what she does in her school with these broken kids from broken homes, her eyes get big, and you see life come from her. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You talk to somebody like Jordan Ross about being at my house and watching a football game and ministering to each other and speaking words of life, and you see Zoe. You see life come out of him. You see life come out when he starts talking about worship. You talk to Joey Teedy and he just, life. It just comes out. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's this life. And you don't have to preach the Word of God from a pulpit. And you don't have to sing beautifully. What you have to be is anointed to live your life now. This very presence of God will go with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You know what? I hate to shake your foundations, but 10 years from now, somebody's not going to say, "Thus saith the Lord, you're the next Billy Graham." It's probably not going to happen. You know how Billy Grahams happen? They live today. And they live tomorrow. And they live the next day. And they live the next day. And they live the next day. And they hammer that nail and they flip that burger and they do it all for the glory of God. That's how this Christian life works. That's how you and me function in this world. There's going to be somebody in here, and you might not preach the gospel ever from a microphone or from a pulpit. But when you get to Kingdom, the $1 million that you had from that business that you sowed your seed into saved 10,000 kids in wherever in the world and across the street. So how many people are you going to save preaching from a pulpit if it's not your gift? None. You see what I'm saying? You know, you're the guy who's crawling up under the old lady's house that's been all decrepit, and you're fixing her plumbing and all this stuff, and that lady dies 3 days later, but you didn't know it. She gave her life to the Lord because you were a hard worker and you loved on her and you blessed her. Come on. I mean, what are you looking for in this life? Are you looking for a pat on the back? Are you looking for a microphone? Here's one on me. Guess what? It's not all that great. This life. Obed-Edom. I just love this story. There's another guy. He's in the book of Acts. His name's Stephen. The apostles are standing there and they're thinking, man, we got all these widows. We need to feed them. But we can't feed them because our Zoe, our life, our anointing is preaching the Word of God. Why would I take away from this to go do this when I'm not graced to do this? And so they don't say, go find 4 nosebleeders who can't do anything else with their life to serve these widows. They say, find 7 men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And out of those 7 men, one of the greatest men ever in the kingdom of God was born. His name was Stephen. He was the first martyr. You guys know the story. He just was anointed to go feed widows. I mean, is there somebody in this house that's anointed to go somewhere and feed some orphans? It's Obed-Edom. It's the spirit of Obed-Edom. Anointed for life. There's a scripture in Exodus chapter 31 where God... I'm going to go there. Go with me. Exodus 31. This is the building of the tabernacle. I love this scripture. Starting verse 1. Exodus 31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, and the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work with gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels for setting, for carving wood, and working all manner of workmanship." God took this man who was a carpenter, a painter, a photographer, and he put his spirit on him so he could do it for God's glory. Doesn't that just amaze you? That just catches me. And what I want to encourage you tonight is there's something inside of you. There's something that God has created you to do. A guy named John Maxwell says, make all the hard decisions of your life early. So you can live it out. There's people my age, there's people 30, there's people 40, and they're still looking for the thing that they were created for. And all this time, they were walking right alongside of it. Maybe like a little bit like Abinadab. The ark of God, the presence of God, comes to his house on the hill. And he thinks, gosh, this thing's going to get in my way. I don't really do gold. I'm kind of more of a, you know, I like pewter a little better. You know, and so he's kind of like, gosh, you know, this thing is, you know, I bet you that man in there just stinks. And so he just puts the thing back in the corner and doesn't teach his boys about it. And pretty soon it's come and gone from his house, and he was looking for something else. And then there's this man, Obed-Edom, who doesn't know better. And he just says, you know, I think I'm going to figure this God everyday thing out. And I think I want to be him. I think I want to live my life that way. You guys hearing what I'm saying tonight? There's something inside of you that's going to come out tonight, tomorrow, the next day, the next day. It might not be the thing, but it's going to be something. And if that something is covered in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be something. That's how we want to live our life. Does that make sense to you? All right. I think the Lord wants me to do something a little bit different. It's not the first time. I want to have some ministry time down here without music. No canned music, no music up here. It's going to be a little bit weird, a little bit awkward maybe, but that's okay. Jesus can handle that. If you're here tonight and you want the same Spirit of God that was on Obed-Edom, just to obey day in and day out, and just to live the life and not be looking for position anymore, but just be looking for what God has for you, I want you just to stand up and come forward. If you just want that day in and day out, I want you to come up here. Pastor Josh, you want to come up? I believe the Lord wants to make us Christians, what it really, really means to be Christians. I think he wants to do it at least in part tonight. I want to pray for you, and then I want you to start praying for each other. And the way I want you to pray for each other, I want you to start praying over somebody and saying, I just loose who God's called you to be into your life. And just start praying whatever the Lord leads you to pray for each other. You guys are ministers. You just start praying. All right? If you're here and you're not a 412 leader and you have a word of prophecy, just grab somebody who's a leader and just let her rip. It'll be good. Amen? All right, let me pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for the business people in this room. God, and I thank you for the anointing, Father God, to be doctors and lawyers and to be city leaders. God, I thank you for the anointing to be the best carpenters in this city. God, I thank you for the anointing in this room, Lord God, to be bankers. Lord God, I thank you for the anointing in this room to be mothers and to be fathers. God, I loose the anointing in this room to be sons and daughters and students and teachers in Jesus' name. Father God, I'm asking right now that you would release the spirit of Obed-Edom in this place, God. That every day and every way we would be living our life anointed by your Spirit for what is before us that day. God, tonight by your Spirit, with no music, no anything, God, we receive from you right now who you've called us to be, what you've called us to be, Father. God, I loose that over all of these young people in this room, God. We want to be your people. God, we want to do the things that are on your heart. God, we want to do the silly little insignificant things like open our door to a gold box. Father God, I'm asking tonight that you would speak life, Father God, into young ladies in this place. God, I'm asking that you would give them vision and hope of being an awesome mother. Father God, I'm praying for young women in this place, Lord God, that you would give them vision of how to be business owners. Father God, I'm praying for young men in this place, God, that you would cause them to have ideas and creative thoughts, God, that would make millions for the kingdom of God. Lord, I'm loosing this spirit over us right now, Father God. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to move right now. If you just turn and start ministering to each other right now, in power, with boldness, minister to somebody, pray with your mouth, speak life over them in Jesus' name. Mighty God. Mighty God.